All right, today's going to be fun. We're going to do something a little different subject-wise. It's going to be the same type of format. We're going to talk about those that do not know God. And how do we reach out to them? There was techniques that we used in the past. I think a lot of those have sort of morphed because the culture has changed. People's changed. You should have a baseline where people knew something about Christianity and you could start from there. Well, it's not quite that way anymore. It is some here in Northwest Georgia, still pretty Christian area. But so we're going to talk about some techniques of how to reach lost people. And today, once a month, Joe, you can come on up and get the microphone and get set up and get going. I asked him, he always shares once a month on evangelism or whatever is on his heart. I asked him today to share how he would give the gospel to somebody. A lot of people don't share the gospel because it's a little intimidating to them. They know they understand it in their head, but they have a hard time getting it out of their mouth. And so I asked Joe, just how would you share the gospel if somebody goes, what must I do to be saved? What can I do? How to become a Christian. So I'm going to turn it over to him, and I'll come back after that.
Thank you, Craig. I wish I could listen to Craig before I give mine, because, you know, it's a little different from where I was going, but it's all good. Thank you, Jesus. I read an article lately here, and I'll just say this before I do this, is I read an article lately, and it said that the modern-day congregations of our country, that they don't want to hear the Word of God or scripture, and that I don't know how they do this research. They said people just want to hear like something that will help them in their life, because we are currently living in the most narcissistic society ever. So what I do and what I want to do is just read you scripture about how to be saved and what it takes to be saved. And I'm start right here in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still in sin, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So, what are we being saved from? We're being saved from wrath. We're being saved through him, through Jesus, we're being saved. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know, when I read that and I was reading that, I go like, wow, one time I was an enemy of God. One time I was an enemy. I didn't know it. I was an enemy of God. I wish that somebody would have reached out and said, hey, man, you're an enemy of God. I might have rethought it, got saved when I was 20. But no one opened their heart to me and said, hey, I want to tell you something. And I don't know why that happened. I don't worry about why that happened. But I know now, I know that I am a child of God because Jesus died for me on that cross like he did everybody in this world. Jesus died for them on that cross so that they can have salvation and not wrath. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. That's everybody that was ever born into this earth is in need of salvation. Everyone that is ever born is lost. We are not born saved. We don't grow up saved. We don't get, you know, that we are all, and every person on the face of this earth is in need of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who have not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. That's referring to Jesus there. And that before, what I get when I read that is that basically until Jesus came, everybody was pretty much messed up. There was no hope in this world until God's Son came here and died for us. Till then, I wouldn't want to, you know, I would say, I'd like to be back in the day of Jesus, but what about if he didn't come? You'd be one of the lost souls forever. But Jesus came and died for us on that cross so that we can be saved. And then I want to share Romans chapter. No, let's see. I want to finish up with Romans chapter 10, 8 through 15. And then I have two more scriptures to share. And that's chapter 10, 8 through 15. Okay. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. But what is it? That is, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you just believe with your heart and confess, so there is actually an action. You know, I just can't come and be saved and never tell anybody, like, hey, Jesus saved me. We are all called to share that with people, you know, and to reach out to people. And it's by grace that we're saved. You know, we talked about this at James' meeting yesterday. And if you really, like, the way he describes it is grace. We are saved. We don't earn it. We can't do anything about it. I'll never be good enough for God to want to save me. You know, but it's by grace. And that grace is, you know, until James described it to me, grace is what gives you the power to walk saved. And to, you know, God graces all the things that, it's nothing I do that can help me be saved, or the things that I do in life to even make income is all grace to me by God. Everything in my life is grace to me by God, that grace that God gave us by sending his son to die for us, to die for our sins. We all have our little piece of that death that is personally applied to us. Not to make us feel guilty or anything, but Jesus came because he loved us and to deliver us and to save us. And there's something I share with people that I minister to and I talk to. There is something I believe that you can do to not be saved. And that's to harden your heart towards God, when God is always desiring for us to be saved. And in Hebrews, I believe it's here, Hebrews chapter 3, and it goes on in verse 7, it says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, not me or James, but the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion. So, you know, God's calling everybody. It's God's desire for all men to be saved. Does that mean everybody will be? No, because the Bible says they won't. But that's, you know, that's a choice in life. You know, I know some people that say, no, you can't not make God, you can't, God will do whatever he wants, but God will not force himself on you. God will not make you be saved. You have to choose. You have to make a choice. And as the song we were singing, you have to surrender your life to Christ and receive that plan of salvation that he has for you. You have to give everything up and then let Christ work in you and walk you through your salvation, and let Christ change the things about you that need changing. We all need changing in salvation. And I truly believe that salvation is a walk. It's a journey. When you become saved by receiving Christ, it's the beginning of your journey. It's an end of your other life, but it's the beginning of a journey. And then over here in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, when Craig asked me to speak on this, I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, there's so much stuff on salvation in God's Word. The whole, I went on forever and ever going, well, I'll have a week-long sermon. You know, it's on and on and on. You just look up salvation and just start reading scriptures on it. Then you realize that this whole book, the Word of God, is one big story of God's salvation for mankind and sinners and all of us. It's just one big giant story of his love for us and his desire to save us. And so it says there that who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. You know, the importance of reaching out to people is I almost feel like it's lacking in churches. Ever since I've came to church and I've attended church and I was born again and got saved, I was like, wow, where was everybody when I really needed them, you know? I mean, and I still need people. But where, you know, nobody, I wished all my heart when I first got saved. I was like, man, 30-something or 40 years of like, whew, no Jesus, no one ever reached out to me. So, you know, and I like James teaching the other day, if you notice something wrong with the church or something is lacking, then it's probably God calling you to do something about it. You know, so I was like, man, no one's telling anybody. No one's reaching out. We're all called to reach out to the lost. You know what I mean? The lost is who we should be reaching out to and talking about their salvation and what Christ did for them and how they can be saved. And then not just leaving being saved. You know, I think sometimes we reach out and we just get people saved and then they're members of the church and then they're there before you know it. You got a church the same size, the same people for 20 years and they're all just saved. You know, my friend, I was like, what is that? He's like, well, that's kind of culty, but he said, really, that's just a dead church. I was like, can there be a dead church? He goes, yeah, there can be. There is people. They're saved, but it's just a dead church. I was like, well, that's an oxymoron, because what is? How do you have a dead church? Jesus didn't buy no dead church. We're the bride of Christ. We're supposed to be on fire. You know, our God's a consuming fire. Jesus baptized with fire. Not what with the fire when you get it that you want to reach lost souls. I mean, we need to reach out to these lost souls that don't know Christ so that they're not lost, because God's desire is for people not to be lost. Everybody. And I just truly believe that we're all called to reach out and seek the lost. All the lost. I mean, I come from a family of lost people, but one by one, they're coming to Christ. One by one. Not my way or anybody's way. One by one, their way with Christ in their life, doing it Jesus' way. So I just wanted, that's my little sermon there on how to be saved. And really, it's just surrendering, but it's more than that. It's receiving and learning what Christ did for you and why he did it and that God loves us all and that he died for everybody. It doesn't matter who they are or what they've done. You know, the Bible says no sin. Except for there's one, I don't want to get into that, but no sin's unforgiving. Christ died for everybody. Every little sin, big sin. You know, so we need to reach out to the lost people. How do we do that? Well, you know, if they're not coming in our door, then we're not doing our job. As born-again Christians reaching to the lost, Jesus said, go out and make disciples of all the nations, of all the people. To make disciples, that means we have to grab them. Let them become saved, because there's nothing I can do to make people saved. There's nothing you can do to make people saved. You can preach and preach and preach. But that's something that Jesus has to. The Holy Spirit convinces people of truth. But they won't know the truth if you don't never go out there and deliver the truth. And that's the Word of God. And what God's Word says on what it's like to be born again, what it takes to be born again. And then always telling people that once they're born again in Christ, don't just be born again and be saved and come to church, but read the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, you truly learn what Jesus did for you and what being saved is all about. Thank you. God bless y'all. And Jesus bless them. And God, I just ask that you bless their families, God, and any unsaved, lost people in their lives. God, give them the Spirit and God, and help us reach out to them. And help us just plant seeds, God, that your Holy Spirit will let lost people become saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.